the rest of the story. The playground at Fairfield School in Bristol, England, was inevitably part ice pond during the winter months. There was one area of the playground in particular, a depression in which snow melted and the contained water froze, so one could hardly reach the bicycle shed without crossing it. Consequently, Fairfield pupils became expert shoe skaters. A good running start could propel a youngster all the way to the shed's door. Occasional teacher warnings about falling down and getting hurt only made sliding more attractive, and hardly anybody was ever really hurt until one cold winter day when Archie was barely 13. Archie was one of the new boys at the school, but he had become a good shoe skater in no time. That particular afternoon, he was sliding toward the bicycle shed when a faster classmate slid up from behind, collided with Archie, and the other boy went sprawling, and Archie went face forward on the ice, and it was a sledgehammer blow. Archie's mouth was bleeding as he staggered to his feet. Carefully, he ran his tongue over his front teeth to ascertain whether they were all in place, and one of them was not. One of those two prominent front teeth, an upper incisor, had snapped in half straight across. Now, for most any of Archie's school pals, such a mishap would have been no big thing, but Archie's family was not well off, as were those of his friends. In fact, Archie was attending Fairfield on a scholarship. His mother had left home for who knew where. His father's salary as a presser in a clothing factory was not even enough to cover the cost of school accessories and textbooks and uniforms and gym clothing and so on. So Archie, deeply appreciating his father's sacrifices to provide a fine education, was determined not to add dental bills to his father's financial burden. Archie fretted over this until a classmate told him the rest of the story. Nearby was a dental college, where dentistry students practiced on the public for nominal fees, sometimes for no cost at all. At worst, Archie could afford to have his front tooth taken care of out of his own weekly pocket money. So, Archie went to the dental college, and one of the students did take care of the tooth. Oh, he took care of it all right. He pulled what was left of it right out of the boy's head, and now, with the front tooth completely gone, Archie was faced with an even more immediate dilemma, how to keep his dear old dad from noticing. Well, how he did it was to keep his mouth shut. I mean, he kept his mouth shut for weeks. Whenever his father was around, Archie would clam up. He said only what he absolutely had to, and then, with his upper lip drawn tightly across the cavernous gap in his front teeth. And gradually something wonderful happened. That spacious space between Archie's teeth began to disappear. That is, the teeth on either side slowly approached each other until they were side by side, and the great gap was gone for good. In later years, it was said of Archie that he possessed that certain smile. Oh, yes, you've heard it said that his smile was warm and masculine and engaging. But I wonder how many admirers ever noticed that where virtually everyone else has two front teeth, Archie had only one, directly, right smack in the center of his mouth. You notice next time you see him on late night TV. Although we will never know the extent to which that feature may have enhanced his allure, nonetheless, Archibald Leach, who later changed his name to Cary Grant, certainly made the most of it. And now you know the rest of the story.